Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast, another journey into why industry is so cool. We love you here on this particular podcast. You know why? Because you're bold, you're brave, you dare greatly. You're solving problems, you collaborate, you innovate, you're doing everything you can to make this world a better place. That's what you guys are doing. You're changing lives, big time, big time. All right, in the hot seat, we've got a gentleman by the name of Josh Goldenhar. That's G-O-L-D-E-N-H-A-R. Great stat card out there. We're going to be talking about storage, but you're going to say to yourself, Scott, we already got that cloud. We already got that on-prem. We've got everything that is available in storage. I'm telling you, Lightbits Lab, they've got an incredible and innovative solution. Let's get cracking. So all of this Industrial 4.0, this journey, this digitization, this digital transformation requires what? That's right. Storage. You need storage because you're pulling in that data. It's a data-driven doggone environment that we're living in, because in that data is definitely the nuggets of gold, the real value, and you're going to have to be able to do it in such a way that it makes it easy and simple and fast. Now, the folks at Lightbits Lab, right, they've come up with a solution that has speed, no latency. I mean, they've got some speed. They've got it's scalable, right? Because you just don't know. You just today it looks like whatever, right? It looks like this, whatever. And but it needs to be scalable. You need to have that flexibility. And the solutions that we have today might not be as scalable. And then of course, with that is flexibility. Might need more. Might need less. Whatever it might be. Whatever the business desires, because again, you are here to educate. You are here to collaborate with people like Josh, and you are here to innovate. And I'm telling you right now, Lightbits, it's got a great solution out there. I'm pretty stoked about it. I was a little nervous when we started this conversation because I said to myself, Scott, you're biting off a little bit more than you can chew, but I'm telling you, they made it easy. They made it easy to understand, and really the fact that it is important. Before we get into that conversation, remember, industrialtalk.com 2.0. Now, what we're doing is we're creating a platform for you, the industrial professional, right? It's you. Industrial professional, the manufacturing professionals, the technology professionals, everything that is all about what we do here at Industrial Talk, because I've come to realize in this pandemic and in this journey that we're on, one, that we're all bound. We've got ties to each other. That is where it lies. That is where we're at, right? Right there. And if we don't have a desire to constantly learn, because I'm telling you, Josh, Lightbits, and others are just constantly innovating. That requires us to learn more and see where this innovation really helps us. But we have to collaborate because of our ability to be able to tie together, our bound here. We just need to do that, right? Just makes sense. And it makes you, the business, the future brighter. I'm just telling you right away. That's what Industrial Talk 2.0. So as we go through this process of changing things around, just be mindful of that. Because if you want to connect with Josh, go out there. He's out there. He wants to collaborate with you. All right, let's get going. All right, you know what's cool about his LinkedIn profile? If you spell Josh Goldenhar, you'll find him. Not many Josh Goldenhars out there, so he's got a great name. Great company. Lightbits Labs, doing some spectacular stuff. We can get all geeky on it, but the reality is that storage is important, especially in this digital transformation world we live in. And they have a solution that's speedy, right? Scalable and flexible. How can you complain about that? All right, enjoy the interview with Josh. Josh, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. You're calling I guess calling. Can we say Zoom is a call?
Yes, we can say Zoom is a call.
It sort of doesn't feel just right, but you're all the way in Hawaii right now.
Yes. Yes, I am very lucky to live here.
Yeah, that's right. And so if you want to complain about your area and all that stuff, nobody's going to listen to it. I just wanted to get that one right out there. So if he starts complaining, don't listen to him.
Absolutely. Actually, there's lots of reasons not to listen to me, by the way. So that's just one of them.
Yeah, I have the same problem. My family is a classic example. They just don't.
Yep.
So for the listeners out there, Josh, give us a little background on who you are and where'd you come from?
So, I was raised in California, but down in Southern California, and always had a knack for computers. One day thought about going up to the Silicon Valley. Self-taught in computers. I actually have a degree in cognitive psychology, though I've been in computers my entire life. And I minored in philosophy, which actually does very well if you're in marketing, because it helps you really create these believable.
It's true. I didn't realize how important marketing is. And, I went through my little education and go through marketing. I can never understand it until you're in business. You realize, hey, this is pretty powerful stuff. And it's a human conversation. Anyway, I digress. Yep. Continue.
Oh, but anyway, so ended up, being in computers, did systems administration, IT, went into Unix and Linux. And then I made the jump to the dark side, going over from the customer space to the vendor space in about 2004, I think it was. So did that and have been on that vendor side, specializing in storage. So I've got something like 30 years of storage experience. And now currently, of course, culminating in being the VP of product, which encompasses product management and product marketing here at Lightbits Labs.
You've seen a lot of changes that have taken place in the storage world. It would seem like to me that one day this storage was expensive and then I wake up the next day and something happened and it's not that expensive. I don't know what happened, yep. But it just did.
Well, you're absolutely right. And what seems to happen is it comes in waves. It gets really, really cheap. And then someone finds how to make it expensive again. And that one becomes really inexpensive. And so we go through these cycles. And you're absolutely right that the cycles aren't just in this in reducing cost. It's also in the way you deploy. And I think we'll end up talking about that a little bit today.
Let me frame this particular question. I've had a number of conversations. I have a number of conversations that evolve and revolve around Industry 4.0. And really, in short, Industry 4.0 is a data-centric solution outside of, don't come chirping at me, but I'm trying to simplify it. But it is the collection of data and being able to have that data in a form that I can make tactical decisions. But every time everybody starts talking about that, that to me is a storage challenge. Because I'm just sitting there going, woo-hoo, yep. Having data. And then it becomes slow. And then it becomes pain in the butt and all that stuff.
Yep, absolutely. And you're right. The holy grail of the industry is phrased as, let's move the compute to the data rather than having to move the data. So it's very common that you have data in one place, and when you want to analyze that data or do something with it, very often you copy it from whatever repository it's in to another location, and then you process it. And so the holy grail, so to speak, is to get to that point where you don't move the data, you move the compute. Now you're not literally moving the compute, of course. You're just using the power of networking and different fabrics to actually have the compute have access to that data in its location rather than having to copy the data to a new location. And that's something, by the way, you can do with Lightbits.
Yeah. So here's how I look at, and I'm going to definitely oversimplify it. However, so I have in a business on-prem, right? So I have an on-prem solution, and then the cloud comes in and now I am sort of shifting to the cloud, and that's where storage is and it's happening. And now, explain to me where this all is going, because now all of a sudden everybody's saying, okay, go to the cloud, but that's really not possibly the right solution to a certain extent. Talk to us a little bit about Lightbits.
Sure. So the cloud is a powerful thing. It's not going away, and it absolutely positively has a great purpose But hopefully for a lot of your listeners, they may think that for certain workloads, they don't make sense to go to the cloud. And the things that don't make sense to go to the cloud are things that are very, very time sensitive, especially on a shop floor in a manufacturing process, when you're doing work that is sensitive, or maybe even because of privacy controls. You know, as the world is dividing more along political lines, for example, there are rules in the European Union that say that for privacy, the data must be stored also on servers that are in the European Union. And so they can't necessarily have certain bits of data stored in a data center in the United States on Amazon. And this forces one of two things. Either Amazon has to open a data center in those countries, or companies have to decide there's just certain data I'm going to still keep on premises. And so that can be, again, because of privacy concerns, because of performance, because of proprietary nature that and risks on security. So there's all sorts of reasons. And a lot of those reasons are if you have to do things at the edge that are what's called latency sensitive. What I mean by that is imagine you have a shop floor and you have devices providing telemetry that are going to a central monitoring system. And this could be for just checking quality. It could be if the line has to be stopped. These are very small bits of data. It's actually not a ton of data. But to send it all the way up to the cloud, you incur a big latency penalty. We start getting into the multiple milliseconds or tens of milliseconds of round trip time. And then if you're doing that analytics in the cloud, you're waiting for the data to get up there. And then when there's an event, like, oh, there's a board that's misaligned, and if we don't stop the line, we're going to get a jam, and we could hurt the equipment.
Right.
You don't want to have to wait for that response to come all the way back from the cloud. So you have a delay for the data going up, and you have a delay for the response coming down. So this is a notion of latency. People often confuse bandwidth and latency. Your cable providers and your internet providers are screaming at you via commercials in any way they can. Oh, increase from, you know, we now support 200 gigabit per second. We support 400 gigabit per second. We support, you know, I'm saying megabits per second. We support gigabit fiber. And you're going like, oh my God, this is so fantastic. Well, so the amount of megabits or gigabits, is you can think of like a plumbing pipe, is the size of the pipe. Is what is the diameter?
Right.
How big is that? It's the amount that can move through. So it's voluminous. It's very big. But you can also understand that if you have a really big pipe, the speed at which the water is going through the pipe can actually be very slow. So if you're thinking about individual molecules of water on how long they take to get from one pipe, from one end of the pipe to the other end of the pipe, that's latency. So you could move a massive amount of water, that's bandwidth, through that pipe. But if it takes 10 minutes to get from one end of the pipe to the other, that may not meet your needs. So latency is how long it takes to do the entire distance. Bandwidth is the total volume you can move.
You know what's scaring me? I actually understand that explanation. You did an excellent job.
I like analogy.
I'm coming after it.
So to take it all the way to the end, now latency is really one of our specialties. It's when you have to, especially if you think if you have small bits of data, oftentimes it's very important for the speed of how fast you can return a result on that small bit of data, rather than how much data you can move at once.
See, that's really very interesting. And it's interesting how far we've come as people, as businesses, that milliseconds are frustrating because they add up. And it's like,
exactly.
that latency is, it absolutely drives me crazy. And in fact, I'll go outside and it's like, if I can't get on, I can't stand it. It's too long. And it might just be a second, but I can feel it. It's like, I can feel it.
You brought up a very good point. Latency really affects you when your operations are one after the other.
Yeah.
We call this being a sequential operation. So when one operation has to complete before the next one can happen, and then before the next one can happen, you're basically doing everything one at a time. Well, that's where latency is critical. Again, to use analogy, it's like when you go to the DMV and there's only one person and you're waiting. and they can only handle one person. Well, what becomes important to you is how long each person at the window takes, because the lower the time that each person takes, the faster you will get to the head of the queue.
That's right.
Whereas now, sometimes the other way to deal with that is, if you can imagine a DMV, I know a lot of us can't. If you can imagine a DMV that had, that
my
had
blood
20,
pressure's rising now.
That had 20, yes, that had 20 windows open all at once, they can service many more people simultaneously. But sometimes you just don't have that luxury. And that's the same thing in compute. Yeah. There are some parts of compute that can be what's called parallelized, or doing multiple things simultaneously. But there's other times where they have to happen one at a time. And that's where latency is really key.
So there's this interesting, and granted, Josh, I've had this conversation, not with storage or anything else, but just with Industry 4.0, and it's great. It's a brave new world, and it's data, and we're going to analyze the data, and it's all that good. And everybody's saying the future, and the future is in the cloud, and that's fine. But then when we start talking about the critical data, the speed to looking at that data, then you're going right back to on-prem. But you don't. But I don't want to go down the road of saying, all right, I got an on-prem, I got to build this thing out, and it's got to be big and bulky. And why is yours so different? Your solution is so different.
Well, it's a lot of things are happening. When you say big and bulky, what often comes to mind is a proprietary, what we used to think of as a storage array, a product from a company that is maybe multiple units, maybe it's a full rack, maybe it's not. There are definitely smaller units out there, but you're buying essentially a black box. And you have to have a special place to put that. And then when you buy that black box, you might be beholden to that vendor to, this goes back to what you said about the cost of storage coming down. You may know that you can buy a particular disk drive or flash drive at a given price. So let's say you think you can buy it on the open market at 20 cents per gigabyte. But because you've bought a proprietary appliance, that vendor says, oh, well, we qualify the drives and have a very special firmware and process. And long story short, you can't just take anything off the shelf or you buy at Amazon or even from a more reputable commercial vendor. I should say a commercial focused vendor. So you're buying from someone who sells to industry, such as a reseller. You buy that and it could cost you 20 cents per gigabyte, but they say, no, you have to buy from us, and we're going to charge you 50 cents or a dollar per gigabyte. And you just end up having no choice. So it's all about choice. As we move to the cloud, people want to also have some of that same flexibility in their own data centers.
Yeah.
If you look at anything about the way Amazon or Microsoft or Google is built out, it's all built out on standard servers. There's no proprietary appliances in there. So why should you do the same thing in your own data center? And that's where we shine, is that we allow you to use off-the-shelf servers, standard Ethernet that everyone is familiar with, standard TCP/IP protocol. There's nothing exotic. It's very easy. And in a very short amount of time on servers of your choice that you're familiar with, and you're familiar on how to manage the networks they're connected to, you can deploy a very high-performance, low-latency storage that's very easy to use. And you can make mistakes, by the way. So you can start small and you can grow our clustered solution later if you need more either performance or capacity. And you can even start with a minimum number of drives and add drives over time. So not only are we not proprietary, letting you save money by using common off-the-shelf components, we're also not exotic. So you're not going to have to learn a lot of new concepts and whatnot on that protocol.
See, I like that. I like that solution. So I can sit there and say, as a business owner, I could say, well, I'll throw this out to you, Josh. Mm-hmm. Can I have some of my work being sent to the cloud and then have sort of a portfolio of storage solutions? I'll have on-prem, I have some clouds, I've got, can I do that?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's not an either or. Yeah. It's very common. In fact, the term that folks are using for this is either hybrid cloud or multi-cloud. There's arguments on whether or not, you know, one term means the other, but hybrid cloud is the notion that you have some on-prem And it's true, you do some workloads in cloud. Some people think multi-cloud means that you have the ability to move from cloud to cloud, like from Amazon to Google or to Azure.
Sure.
But multi-cloud can also simply mean that you run a private cloud in your own data center, and then you also have the ability to move some of those workloads to a public cloud vendor. So, but at the end of the day, it's not limiting. You can definitely do both. You can have some on-premise or private cloud, or if you want to call it enterprise right. or traditional IT, insert your favorite name there. Right. These things can definitely be used together. And oftentimes that's a good way to do it is you pay dearly for performance in the cloud. We had released a press release earlier this year. I think it was in January when Amazon announced much higher performance for their cloud block storage product called EBS or Elastic Block Storage. And they announced that they were basically doubling the effective performance of their what's called the IO2 instances. There's a lot of acronyms. I apologize for that.
But it's just okay, basically but means, it's just like, we got something faster over
yes,
here.
We have something faster. Well, in our press release, we announced that, hey, guys, we're already like 6 times faster than that and way less expensive. So can you move to the cloud? Absolutely. But getting to the higher performance levels and especially lower latency becomes very costly in the cloud.
See, and that's an interesting problem. You brought up something that I've never thought of. It's like, let's say you do and you shift everything to clouds. There's your business. It's right up there. Wherever that is, it's being stored over here.
Yes.
And then because of that, there's a point of leverage where these companies have on you. It's like, hey, you want better service? Well, it's going to cost you a little bit more if you want.
Exactly.
Yep. And it's sort of, but your solution, you can still have that. It's okay. You can look at the portfolio of your data, say, yeah, we don't need performance here. We'll just stick it over here. But we need performance here because we're pulling in operational data that requires us to look at it quickly. Right. Okay.
Yes.
Well, that goes here. And then you can sort of, and then what I also hear is that I don't have to go with a 500 gig, terabyte, I can scale it to what is really needed. And then if my business requirements change, I can add to it.
Exactly. Yeah. You can start, you do have to have an appreciation for the level of performance. We are using a newer kind of flash storage. And so it is flash storage is more expensive than spinning drive storage. So let's be clear there. We have a knack for being able to use the least expensive flash. It happens to be called QLC, but you don't have to worry about what that means. That just means at the end of the day, that's the cheapest grade of flash. Now, being the cheapest grade of flash, it has some issues compared to other flash. That is, it's a little slower on write speeds, or it could be actually significantly slower on write speeds. And all flash has a, so to speak, an expiration date, or really the number of times that you can write to it is limited. Wow. This is known as endurance. And these cheaper drives don't last as long. You cannot write as much to them. But LightOS, our product from Lightbits Labs, does make use of these least expensive drives. So it lets you choose this quote-unquote cheap media. But we extend the life of that media by up to 5 times. So this is another way that you can get very, very high performance with us, and yet it can be less costly, it can be half the cost of similar proprietary arrays at the same usable capacities.
See, I'm geeking out on this. I think this is pretty cool. How can I get?
So.
I mean, I just want a flash drive now. Now I just all of a sudden, I mean, I want to go to Home off no,
right.
no Best Buy and get a flash drive just because.
Right, and that's but it's funny you say that, but that's what we're actually seeing happening. If you go back to when we started this discussion, we talked about cycles, and being having enough gray in my beard that it shows how long I've been knocking around here. Sure. I went through the stage where we did what was called DAS, direct attached storage.
Yes.
This was a spinning drives.
I got a 2 terabyte drive there. Well, and it's
exactly. We all do. Yeah, we all do DAS. Anybody that has a laptop or a server at home, a desktop, is doing DAS, is the disk drive that's in their system, yeah, is the directly attached storage. But when we talk about DAS, what we're talking about was the tendency, even in the enterprise, to say, you know what, for the fastest access times, this is almost always what it's about.
Yeah.
For fastest access times, I need lots of local drives because that's going to give me the fastest. And that holds true today.
It's not. I didn't think through it that way, but that's exactly right. It's like, it's not fast enough. Let me go to another one.
Exactly. So, and that's what we do today. And that's what's happened with Flash, is there is no one's going to argue with you that the fastest way to access Flash, if you have a centralized storage array or a centralized storage from lots of different vendors, especially over your network, your Ethernet network, you might be using iSCSI. You may love the fact that your storage is centrally managed, that any host that's on the network can get a what we call logical volume, can get something that looks like a local disk drive, but it's actually coming over the network. What you might not like is that performance of that. You may have a performance bottleneck, especially when we're talking about latency again. If your wish is it, and things that suffer from latency are databases, any kind of highly transactional system, the real-time analytics. Intrusion detection for security is all these things are dependent on latency. So you like the convenience of using a centralized storage solution, but you know that, well, you know what? To make it as fast as possible, I could just put flash drives inside each server.
Yeah.
And there are lots of programs out there now that actually support this. A lot of open source software, especially databases, supports this functionality. And so you do get that speed of access. And then some of these products, or most of them, do their own data protection as well. Like, because the question becomes, if I have a local drive, what happens when it fails? You know, drives will fail. We all know drives fail.
Oh, they do.
So it's not an if, it's when this drive fails, what happens? Well, that the application oftentimes is doing its own data protection, but each application does the data protection in its own way. So if you're managing 10 applications, you're now managing 10 different ways to protect your data. Rather than when you had centralized storage, the applications could be dumb about how data was protected. They just assumed it was, and right, the storage did it for you on all 10. So we combat that. That's basically, with us, you get the best of both worlds. You can actually have virtualized storage that performs as if it's a local flash drive, but you're getting all the convenience you're used to of centralized solutions. That is, and one of the most common things to think about is, if you're going to put flash inside a server, what size drive do you pick?
Yeah. Oh, I've had that conversation. Doesn't need to be this big, this big.
Right. But, nobody ever wants to be the person that said who picked too small, right? Because then you're what's the technical term? You're screwed. Yeah, that's the.
You've two blocked yourself in a big way.
So everybody chooses too large. Well, what does that mean? It means you pay for capacity that you're not using.
Yeah.
You might use it, and if you end up being perfect one day, you might be perfect. There might be that one person out there that said, "I planned out, and we needed exactly 8 terabytes, and that's the size of the drives, and everything was great." And if you're out there shaking your head right now saying that never happens, you're right. That's the point.
And if you're saying it did, you're lying. Yeah.
You're lying. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So we give you that ability to have what looks like a local disk drive or local flash drive.
Yeah.
But it can be resized. If you make a mistake, you can virtually resize it. You just run a command and it gets larger. If that server that your application on dies, you can reload the application on a completely different server and you still access the very same data over the network. So this frees you from tying applications to certain servers. And lastly, even for those applications that do their own data protection, you can either choose for them not to do data protection, or you can still go ahead and put that data on our systems. And we will not do our replication. You can turn off our replication, but we'll still protect against a drive failure. The reason this is important is if you have any application and it's doing its own data protection, when that drive fails, it will recover the entire contents of that drive to another system. And that goes over your network. So, and what's the most common bit for it to fail? It's a drive.
It is.
So we protect against a drive failure, and we take care of that failure inside that server, and it never goes out over your network for that drive failure. We rebuild the missing data inside the server so it doesn't impact your network. So these are all reasons to go to this.
I love the niche that you guys are serving. I think that that's interesting. The conversations I've had over a few years, they were talking about on-prem, cloud, where do we go, what do? Where do we process? You've come up with a solution that addresses speed, because speed is important. I want it fast. In fact, I want it yesterday. I want fast.
Right.
And I want it to be scalable, because I don't know what my business, I see my business today, but what does my business look like tomorrow? I don't have an answer, but I want that scalability. And then finally, it's flexible.
Yep, very.
And I love that. And so individuals or companies who are listening to this particular podcast, FYI, it doesn't have to be a binary decision of like, okay, I got to be here and summon them. You can talk to Josh Lightbits Lab and be able to come up with a solution, a storage solution that truly meets your business need. How about that?
Absolutely.
I love that. Because you brought up some good points about the fact that who's going to make the decision? Is it an 8 terabyte? I don't know. I don't want to be. All of a sudden, I'm sick. I don't have to come on in. You make that decision, that type of thing. You know?
Yes.
I love it. Are you active out there on LinkedIn?
Yeah. Well, I'm on LinkedIn. Lightbits, of course, is also on Twitter. Our handle is Lightbits. We're on LinkedIn at Lightbits Labs. And then I, of course, am on LinkedIn as well.
You got it. All right, listeners. No, do not come to me and complain that you can't get a hold of Josh. This is mad. This is mad innovation, mad technology. Josh comes with 30 plus years of experience. Josh, thank you very much for being on the Industrial Talk podcast.
It's been a pleasure. It's been fun. Thanks a lot,
Scott. Awesome. All right, listeners, we're going to wrap it up on the other side. Do not go away. You will have all the contact information for Josh, so stay tuned.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, kudos to Josh Goldenhar and Team Lightbits Lab. Heck of an innovation, especially in this world of digital transformation. You need that scalable solution, and they've got it. It's of course fast, scalable, and flexible to meet your digital transformation needs. Go out to Industrial Talk and connect with Josh Goldenhar. Listen to the Doggone Podcast as you are. Now, I want you to remember Industrial Talk 2.0. It's where you're going to educate, you're going to collaborate, and you're going to innovate. You're going to hang out with people who want to do that and who are passionate about making that happen, because that's what the future is about. We are bound together. We've got ties. Big, big time. All right. Be bold, be brave, dare greatly. Hang out with bold, brave, and daring greatly people, and you're going to change the world. Thank you for joining, and we're going to be back with another great interview shortly.